Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The inventor of condensed milk, Gail Borden, had previously tried inventing a biscuit made of meat.
Sounds delicious.
These cameras take a photo anytime an animal walks past the sensor, anywhere, even deep in the forest. It's a non-invasive way to monitor the wildlife species in an area.
Currently, we have a 10-acre site we're working at Walnut Hills High School, right next to it. We also are working with San Diego Xavier High School, and I got my eye on Parker's Woods Montessori. I want to work with some of those kids over there.
On today's episode, we'll check out samples of these podcasts, No Such Thing as a Fish, The Wild, and Art Palace. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Facts are boring, but fun facts, now those are always welcome. But the line between fact and fun fact is a narrow one. No one knows how to walk that line better than our first podcast this week. From the BBC hit panel quiz show QI, for quite interesting, comes No Such Thing as a Fish, an educational podcast that'll make you laugh and make you smarter. Each episode, the QI researchers, commonly referred to as elves, huddle around the microphone to talk about the best things they found out that week. For example, did you know that Greta Thunberg's middle name is Tintin? Or that you can buy left-handed chapsticks in Japan? Well, if you listen to No Such Thing as a Fish, you would. So join Dan, James, Anna, and Andy each week as they help you up your game for your dinner party conversations, even if they are on Zoom. Here's a clip of the recent episode of No Such Thing as a Fish, number 316. As with all the rest, this episode is chock full of weird and wacky facts that seem almost too entertaining to be true. In this clip, the QI elves talk about some half-baked, failed creations of the inventor Gail Borden, who is best known for inventing that key ingredient, condensed milk.
My fact is that the inventor of condensed milk, Gail Borden, had previously tried inventing a biscuit made of meat.
Sounds delicious.
So, yeah. I don't like condensed milk, but I've read about this meat biscuit and it sounds amazing.
It sounds, I guess, it kind of sounds a bit like dog food, I think, but for people.
Okay.
That doesn't sound amazing, but I guess we have different tastes.
So he was alive in the mid-19th century, and, you know, there were all these problems about preserving food at the time and feeding, you know, large numbers of people at a distance or at a distance of time, so especially feeding your armies, things like this. This was a couple of decades before the Civil War, so he would have known there was a Civil War coming, needed to feed people for that.
He had amazing powers of foresight, didn't he, this inventor?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, incredible, actually. Sort of weird he didn't make his money out of that. But he invented so much stuff. And one of the things he invented was a beef broth, which he then evaporated into this kind of syrup. And you could either fry or bake that syrup into a biscuit. Mm. And it was a universally derided... not universally derided.
The Scientific American said it was one of the best discoveries of modern times.
Okay, that was a good review. It also won a gold medal at the Great Exhibition in 1851.
Yeah.
But the army tried it and they declared it was not only unpalatable but failed to appease the craving of hunger, producing headache, nausea, and great muscular depression.
Picky.
But can we talk about some of the other stuff that Borden invented? Because he was incredible. So lots of his relatives, very sadly, died of yellow fever. His mother, his wife, and his son had all passed away because of yellow fever. So it was a summer disease, predominantly. And one thing he decided to invent was a giant refrigerator to keep people in until they got better. That didn't work.
Yeah.
He tried... Did you read about the... what's it? When something... Amphibious. The amphibious machine he invented.
The terraqueous.
Yeah.
It was basically one of those things that you get on the Thames in London, wasn't it?
A duck river tour?
It was a Dutch visitor.
Yeah.
So it was built for prairies. It was like a wagon that could ride you along the prairies. But then it transformed into a boat at the click of a button or the erection of a sail, I guess, once it hit the water.
It was horse-drawn, wasn't it, as well?
Yes.
So I guess the horse stayed on shore,
presumably. No, you then attached seahorses to it once it got in the water.
From the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish from the BBC, prepare to wow your friends and family with your newfound, mostly useless knowledge after listening to No Such Thing as a Fish, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Being cooped up indoors doesn't mean you have to stop appreciating the great outdoors. Just in time for this unfortunate lockdown comes the second season of The Wild, a nature podcast from ecologist Chris Morgan. One part podcast, one part short-form essay, The Wild explores how nature survives and thrives alongside, and often despite, humans. Morgan captures the wild complexity of nature, telling stories of the wildlife and people protecting it as he takes listeners across the Pacific Northwest and around the world. You'll learn about wildlife of all shapes, sizes, and locations as The Wild takes you on a journey to observe Earth's remarkable creatures and the complicated, interconnected ecosystems they inhabit. In all this madness and uncertainty, The Wild is a relaxing breath of fresh air. Your mother would want you to listen. Mother Nature, that is. Here's a snippet from the recent episode of The Wild titled How to Track a Cougar in Washington. Chris joins wildlife biologist Kim Sager Fradkins deep in the forests of the Pacific Northwest to learn about how biologists non-invasively track and document the various species living in certain ecosystems. In this clip, they chat about how far the research technology has come and how researchers are learning to process all this new data.
These cameras take a photo anytime an animal walks past the sensor, anywhere, even deep in the forest. It's a non-invasive way to monitor the wildlife species in an area. She takes out the memory card and uploads them to her laptop, hoping for some good snapshots of unsuspecting wildlife.
Oh, and there they all are. Wow.
And then all the images.
Oh, who's that lady?
She's our volunteer.
No way.
No animals on this camera today, just photos of the last human volunteer team member to check this camera site. But that's okay, because this time I'm not actually here for the animals. I'm more interested in the camera itself. You see, when I first got my start in fieldwork in the early 90s, we didn't have anything like these cameras. And when Kim was fresh out of school, there was a very different way to catch an image of a furry passerby. Remember those cameras that used actual rolls of film? Seems like a long time ago already, doesn't it? The simple point-and-shoot kind, like a Kodak. First, you'd set one of those against a tree.
You used a string and a part of a hanger, and you had the hanger attached to the string and the string attached to a piece of bait, and then the animal would come and pull on the bait, which would cause the string to pull and cause the hanger to depress and take a photo. So that's how far we've come.
Oh my God.
In 20 years.
Was MacGyver involved in
that? Exactly.
Funny to think that this was cutting edge back then. Researchers were limited. The cameras could only take 36 pictures before they were full, not to mention having to then drop them off at the pharmacy to print them. But today, things are a little different. With digital photos and massive storage drives, each one of these new high-tech cameras can take thousands of images. Amazing for wildlife science.
The amount of data is astounding, exciting, and overwhelming all at once.
It can almost be too much of a good thing. This much data can be hard to handle.
A sample of the podcast, The Wild, from Seattle's NPR affiliate, KUOW. Get back in touch with nature we so often take for granted with The Wild. Available on WVXU.org via the Start Here podcast collection. Since you can't go to the museums, our featured local podcast this week will bring the museum to you. From the Cincinnati Art Museum, it's Art Palace, a podcast where you'll meet cool people and learn about cool art. Host Russell Eyrig welcomes different guests from all walks of life to remind us that everyone can, and should, have conversations about art and culture. From curators to artists to educators and everything in between, the conversations on Art Palace strip away the pretension and exclusivity of the world of fine arts, leaving room for only learning and inspiration. It's a place where community and culture connect, and it's accessible from the comfort of your own home. So get listening. Here's a taste of what you'll get on each episode of The Art Palace, with new episodes released every 2 weeks. This clip is from the episode featuring an interview with Civic Garden horticulturalist Greg Torres. Greg provides some updates on the arrival of spring at the Garden Center and some insights on the plants and flowers that are featured on the museum's collection of Cincinnati's historic Rookwood pottery. In this little snippet, Greg describes the history and mission of the Civic Garden Center, as well as some of his responsibilities within the organization.
Currently, we have a 10-acre site we're working at Walnut Hills High School, right next to it. We also are working with Sandy Xavier High School, and I got my eye on Parker's Woods Montessori. I want to work with some of those kids over there.
Hear that, Parker Woods?
Yeah, it's out there. So outside of the Garden Center, though, also president of Northside Green Space, and the forests in Northside, whether it's Buttercup Valley or Parker's Woods or Badgley Run, that organization is dedicated to upkeeping, maintaining, and educating the neighborhood about the forest that they have right there in their backyards. So,
how long has the Civic Garden Center been around?
Oh my gosh. So our inception was as a institution that taught community members, citizens, how to garden victory gardens. So back to World War II times. So I think we're in our 77th year in the city. And so our mission statement is building community through gardening, education, and environmental stewardship. And so those three components really feed off of one another when you really get down to it. And it's vitally important for the city to have an institution like this. Mm-hmm. There's several components to our organization, one of which is very strong. Well, they're all very strong, but we have a community gardens program. And that's kind of where, again, our inception took hold, teaching people how to grow things in their own communities or their own backyards. We support like over 60 community gardens in the city. So if you live in the city in one of these neighborhoods, chances are there's a community garden around you that you could probably walk to and get involved with. We act as a resource for those gardens as far as tools, education, seeds. But once you get in that network, there's a lot of benefits that come out of that. We have a youth educator who goes out to some of the schools and teaches kids how to grow plants as well. We've got a platinum LEED certified building on site. It used to be an old gas station, but it's called the Green Learning Station.
Cool.
Kylie Johnson is our coordinator for that, and she has some great programming around sustainability, green infrastructure. She's got a real great program around green girls in STEM, and they just do some fantastic work out of that building. We've got a volunteer coordinator who's essential to our running, because there's only seven of us that work from this organization. But we have a volunteer corps of over 300 people.
Wow.
And we rack up thousands of hours of volunteer service. And
that's very impressive.
It's constantly growing, so it's a great program. And then me, I teach about the plants, and I teach about how to grow them. I usually field questions from the community anytime they have questions about plants. And again, I've got this botanic garden, which is just a pleasure to be in every day.
From our local podcast spotlight, Art Palace from the Cincinnati Art Museum. Take a virtual audio tour of the wonderful art our city has to offer and the voices of the people that make it possible. It's on Art Palace, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection on WVXU.org or on the WVXU app. Each week, we take a look at the Apple Podcast charts to see what podcasts are new or up and coming around the nation via iTunescharts.net. Well, in a rare moment of normalcy, a true crime podcast has debuted its new season and shot to number one all in the same week. From NBC, it's Motive for Murder. Two murders months apart in Houston. The young victims knew each other, but did they also know the elusive killer? Dateline's Josh Mankiewicz takes you inside one of the most twisted and confounding cases he's ever covered. From the team who brought you the number one podcast, The Thing About Pam, a new number one on the Apple Podcast charts, Motive for Murder. To learn more about Motive for Murder and the other podcasts we feature today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at WVXU.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.